Thank you for tuning in via social media this morning to worship with us at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. I want you to know that there are people literally around the world that are tuning in. For the next two Sundays, I want to share with you about fear. Today, message is entitled Freedom from Fear. And then next Sunday, I want to share with you about the fear of God. So take your Bible. We're just going to look at one verse today in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When I was in the 10th grade at Richmond Academy in Augusta, Georgia, we had driver's education class. We had to go to one classroom session after another. But about once a quarter, Coach Cassidy would come in and he would pick three of us to go out and get the experience of driving around the city. I remember one particular day, I was chosen along with two other guys, and we got in that 1970 four-door Ford Galaxy 500. That vehicle was equipped for instruction. In fact, there was a brake on the passenger side for the coach. On this particular day, Joe, who was going to be our valedictorian after we finished up the next couple of years, was the driver. On the city streets, the people allowed to place their leaves and their limbs, their yard debris, and the city picks it up. Well, on this particular day, I don't know why, but when Joe got close to this huge brush pile, instead of hitting the brake, he hit the accelerator, and we blasted right through it. The coach said, "Boy, what are you doing?" And the rest of us were in fear that we were about to die. Coach made Joe get out of the car, get on the passenger side. Coach got behind the wheel, class over. He took us back to the school. We all have some fears. Some are good, and others are bad. All fear is not bad. It depends on how you use the word. To be clear in this message today, I'm not describing legitimate concerns, but illegitimate anxiety and worry. It's this latter kind of fear, the sinful kind that Paul addresses in this power-packed verse that he gave to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7, let me give you another translation. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear can come from a lot of places. You can get some circumstances that cause fear. It can be your health. It can be your finances. It can be an automobile accident. It can be a relationship. I want you to know sometimes people are fearful because of learned behavior from their mom and dad. Mom and dad were people who were chronic worriers. And you watch that behavior for so many years, and then you adopt it, which is not a godly behavior, and then it makes you fearful about everything. In recent months, our fear has been filled with fear over COVID-19. And as we've had some openings, people are not afraid to go to the grocery store, Walmart, TJ Maxx, and then you see people at Lowe's and Home Depot every day like it's Christmas Eve. People have lost their jobs. Some have had their hours cut. Others are furloughed. Some jobs are permanently eliminated. About 2 days before I wrote this message, a company in Bartow County that makes airplane parts announced the layoff. In fact, the permanent job loss of over 130 of their employees. Now, how do we respond as believers to fear? We've all been just a little stir crazy as we go through, as we've been through this shelter in place. Now, I want you to notice the background here when Paul wrote 2 Timothy. The first imprisonment that he experienced was house arrest. He probably had sanitary conditions. He had food that he needed. He probably could host guests. He could teach and preach. But we go down to AD 66 when he's writing 2 Timothy. And I want you to know that he's in a dark dungeon. I want you to know that he's in unsanitary conditions. And also, he is in chains. And what's amazing to me is he is in chains in this dark dungeon, in this prison, knowing the only way out is going to be through death. He's able to witness to the guards and his fellow prisoners. And the other thing he does is take time to pen this letter to Timothy. Some of you have been stir crazy, but I want you to just compare your living conditions, what they were, to what Paul experienced, and he wanted God to continue to use him even in that confinement. Now he's in chains in prison, and he tells his fellow believers how to respond to fear. Look at verse 7. You do so with courage, for the Spirit God gave us, that's important for you to underline that phrase, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now that word fear, God didn't make us timid. That word fear actually means coward. God did not make us cowards as believers. Now notice here, he talks about people that just are fearful. He didn't make us so that we shake in our shoes when we're in difficult circumstances. It's been said the most common commandment in the Bible is to fear not. You may want to count, there's 365 commands to fear not in the Old and New Testament combined. Lloyd Ogilvie, who was the former Senate chaplain for years and years, said he's counted 366 fear not commandments. Notice that word power there. That's where we derive our English word dynamite. It's the same word used in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles. Now watch this very closely. He's talking about spiritual courage. He's not talking about us bowing our shoulders and bringing our fist up. He's not talking about us trying to stare somebody down. That's not what he's talking about. It's the courage Stephen had when he was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. And you remember, he courageously stood there and preached the gospel. And then as they stoned him, he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's the courage of Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus several times. And then after Pentecost, he preached boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people were saved. It's the courage of a person who has been told they have terminal cancer, and the doctor is telling them the approximate amount of time they have left to live, yet they continue to walk hand in hand with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice this very, very carefully. This courage is a gift from God to us. It's not something that we developed. He says that he gives us this courage. This is something that carries us beyond fear. Now notice, we're to act in faith and be courageous, and we're not to be foolish. I know some churches decided early on, we're just not going to claim this virus and we're going to open. And then they've had to shut down immediately after the COVID virus came out of their church. There was a church in Northwest Georgia who, after our governor here in Georgia said, "You can start opening the doors," they said, "We'll just open immediately." Within 2 weeks, they had 3 cases of the COVID virus that came out of that church, and they've had to shut down. Are you fearful? Are you fearful during these times? There was a governor of war, a military leader, that was interviewing George Patton. He said, "I admire your courage." And Patton looked at him and said, "I'm not a brave man. The truth is, I'm a coward. I've never been within the sound of a gunshot or in sight of a battle in my whole life that I wasn't scared, that I had sweat in the palms of my hands. Then an autobiography was released concerning General Patton, and here's what he said: I learned very early in my life never to take counsel of my fears. April 17th, 2020, was the 50th anniversary of the launching of Apollo 13. That was a historic flight that was dubbed as a successful failure. The flight director, Gene Kranz, said that failure is not an option for this mission. But I want you to know that on April the 13th, 1970, 7:07 p.m., an oxygen tank exploded on board Apollo 13. Jack Swigert, one of the astronauts, radioed Houston. And he simply said, "Houston, we've had a problem here." Mission Control couldn't understand what he was saying. So Jim Lovell, who was the commander of that spaceship, said, "Houston, we've had a problem." You remember that phrase was slightly altered for Ron Howard's 1995 epic movie about Apollo 13. And now it's a staple catchphrase. They edited it and made it, "Houston, we have a problem." Now I want you to notice this, that when that oxygen tank exploded and those two astronauts were radioing, they didn't radio Seoul, Korea. They didn't radio Paris. They didn't radio Hong Kong. Their lifeline was the control center, Houston, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, the only place we can go for the forgiveness of our sins is one place, and that's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we can overcome our fear and not be cowards and overcome a crisis is to look to the Lord Jesus, who gives us courage to get us through. The second gift I want you to see that God gives His children, if we'll just trust Him, is in verse 7. "For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." This is an agape love. This is an opportunity for Christians to show the love of Christ to other people. Every week, the Southern Baptist Convention or the Georgia Baptist Mission Board puts out webinars for pastors and staff members. They're giving us updates on the COVID virus. They're telling us about when we might open again. And they also share with us about new precautions that we need to take. The first transmission in the webinar from the Southern Baptist Convention encouraged us to do four or five things. Number one, ask God in His mercy to stop this pandemic. Number two, pray for President Donald Trump, other national leaders, our state and local leaders, and to pray for international leaders that God would direct us down the right path to defeat and stop the spread of coronavirus. Number three, that the Lord will give us wisdom in this moment of fear as the foundations of what we know are shaken, that other people would realize that life is fragile. There is an eternity we must face, and people need to realize they need the Lord. Ask God to protect our missionaries here and around the world and their families, using this global crisis to advance the good news through the whole world. In addition to our prayers, how can we demonstrate agape love? Let me tell you one way you can do that is don't hoard. Who would have ever thought we'd have a toilet paper crisis? COVID virus has nothing to do with toilet paper. I've been to the store without delaying, and I just buy what's there. I didn't know you could buy see-through toilet paper, but there's some cheap stuff out there on the market. Then we find that people are hoarding up meat. People are hoarding up hand sanitizers and disinfectants. And you go time after time to the store and the shelves or the cases are empty. That is not the way to express agape love, by hoarding supplies. We are denying people who are in need of those. The guys that hoarded hand sanitizer, try to sell it by price gouging. And then the authorities discovered what they were doing. They were facing legal action, so they decided to donate all the hand sanitizer they had bought up to local organizations in the medical field. It's a great time to check on your neighbors. All of my neighbors are senior adults. I like that. They go to bed between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. They don't shoot fireworks. They're pretty quiet. They're low maintenance. But you know, it's not a bad idea to call them right before you go in to the grocery store or Walmart to pick up some items, to call and ask them, is there anything I can do for you? Let me tell you something else that's happened during this pandemic. Telecommunications providers have ramped up for higher volume on the internet once the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Using your phone to talk, that has been on the decline for years and years because of Snapchat, text, emailing, and other social media opportunities that we have. But let me tell you what's happened. AT&T, Verizon, and others have said this. They're now handling about 800 million phone calls per day. Ladies and gentlemen, Mother's Day is usually the number one call day of the year. But they said each day people are making twice as many calls as they normally do on Mother's Day. A commissioner at the Federal Communications Commission said, we've become a nation that calls like never before. We're craving to hear a human voice. Verizon's chief technology officer, Kyle Malady, said this, the move to staying at home has reignited people's hunger to stay connected voice to voice. And then AT&T's executive vice president of technology and operations said this, voice is the new killer app. It's been a real surprise. We are relearning what matters most. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love. And then notice he gives us a spirit of control or discipline. This is the only place that this word appears in the Bible. One translation calls this word a sound mind. Others translate it control or discipline. Strong's Concordance says this. Strong's defines it as a calling to soundness of mind, moderation, or self-control. Very simply, don't lose your mind. Use sanctified common sense. Over the Memorial Day holiday, I watched the national news. I was amazed to see people having pool parties where there were as many as 300 to 400 people in the pool and on the outside of the pool at one gathering facing no self-discipline, no distancing. Some were interviewed. One young lady, she looked like a teenager. She said, well, if I get the disease and God's ready to call me home, so be it. Another young adult was interviewed. He said, so what if I get COVID? I don't really care. The Bible says he's given Christians some sanctified common sense. Now be careful. When you turn on television, everybody has become an expert on COVID. They may not even have a medical degree or a medical background, but they're all thinking that they are the authority. And then we've got the politicians and the medical field that they just can't agree on when we need to open and how much longer we need to safe distance. I was reading an article the other day, and I think given the opportunity, this governor probably would chose a different way to express the need for vigilance against the coronavirus. But at his press conference on April the 17th of this year, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo declared God inconsequential in this pandemic, addressing the changing trend of the COVID-19 in New York. Here's what he said, and I want to quote this. He said, "The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. That's how it works." He went on to say, "It's the math. And if you don't continue to do the math, you're going to see that the number go back up, and that will be a tragedy if that number goes by up." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know this from being a public speaker for years. When you're extemporaneous, you're just shooting from the hip, and you're tired and under a lot of stress, you say some things you probably shouldn't have said. But there's two things I want you to notice here. Number one, the news media did not make one comment about him saying God has nothing to do with New York getting better. Faith has nothing to do with the numbers improving. It's all about science, and it's all about the math. Well, that's not surprising, because that's how many people think in our nation. The other thing that I want you to notice here as well, we don't really need to pile on Cuomo too heavily, because too often we repeat the sentiment with our actions rather than our words. As we pray for a spiritual awakening to come from this pandemic, let's confess our transgressions of not honoring God as the giver of every good gift. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what's wrong with us, with local government, state government, and our national government. It's a lack of the fear of God. Many politicians are concerned about their decisions and how the poll numbers come in. Many politicians are concerned about how they're viewed by their constituents. If we're all agreeing on the same thing, even though it may not be what God wants for our community, state, or our nation, we need to get back to having an awe and respect and a worship for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by the way we think, what we say, the way we live, and the decisions that we make. Now listen, I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. God is assisting us encountering the disease. You say, on what basis? Here it is. God created every single one of us. You go look in Psalm 139. You'll find he wove us together in the darkness of our mother's womb. And let me tell you what. He created the researcher. He created the doctor, the nurses, the chemist, and the biologist. These people have a call on their life, just like you and I have a call on our life. And when leaders stand and say, God has nothing to do with our recovery, it's about math and science, they give you the actual spiritual temperature of America. We need an evangelistic revival. We need people saved in America by the thousands. But it's not going to happen until we have an evangelical revival. I mean commitment among Christians. You know, I've already had somebody come up to me, just a stranger, and say, well, church has been moving to social media for a long time. This is the future of the church. Well, in the book of Hebrews, the writer said, forsake not the gathering of the saints together. He didn't say forsake not the gathering of the iPads. He said forsake not the gathering of the saints together. That's talking about our physical attendance. But you know what's going to happen as an end result of some of this business of us having to close down all across the nation with our churches, some people are going to say, you know, I can just watch this on my pad or my mobile device anytime I want to. Ease, comfort, pleasure, convenience. And I don't believe I'll be a part of a church anymore. Sanctified common sense. It's just a few months after Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast. It was in 2005. Billy and Franklin Graham went to New Orleans for an event they called the Celebration of Hope. They surveyed the hardest hit areas of New Orleans. And of course, there were reporters following them around. And so finally one went up to Billy Graham and said, Mr. Graham, what can we learn from Hurricane Katrina? And at the time, Billy Graham was 87 years old, and here's what he said. There's much more to life than material things. A decade and a half later, with COVID-19 pandemic, what he said holds true. Dwight L. Moody was a powerful, great preacher in his day. He told about a Christian woman who was bright, cheerful, and optimistic. She was confined to her apartment because of illness. She lived in an attic apartment on the fifth floor of a rundown building in a major city. One day, a lady from the church went to visit this shut-in, and she took a wealthy friend with her. When they got to that dilapidated building, they saw there was no elevator. So these two ladies had to climb the stairs. When they got up to the second floor, the wealthy lady says, "This place is so filthy, how in the world can anybody live here?" They got up third floor, fourth floor. The wealthy lady continued to complain about the filthy living conditions. How can anybody dwell in this place? So they finally got up to the fifth floor. And they walked into this little lady's room. Though it was clean and there were flowers in the windowsill, the wealthy lady was just astounded by what she saw, and she blurted out, "It must be very difficult to live in a place like this." And the little lady who was a resident in that meager apartment, she said, "It's better higher up." And what she was actually saying, she said, "I'm looking past the temporal things with my eye of faith fixed on the eternal." She had found the true satisfaction of peace and contentment. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. As Christians, listen to me. We need to keep our heads bowed, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And there's no sense in us being fearful now. This is no time for civil disobedience. This is no time to be careless. Because the Lord says, if you'll just receive it, born again believer, I give you as a gift courage, agape love, and a sound mind. He says, I'm going to take care of you now. And I'm going to take care of you throughout all eternity through Jesus. We win. And with those gifts, we're given freedom from fear, even as we walk through a pandemic. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. And Lord, I just pray if there's someone in the sound of my voice who's never trusted you as Savior and Lord, that this would be the time that they would do that. Because people who've not trusted you as Savior and Lord ought to be fearful. Fearful here and for what kind of eternity they're going to experience. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, sacrificial, substitutionary gift for our salvation. His blood was shed so that we might have the free gift of salvation. And whosoever just calls on his name shall be saved. Now listen to me carefully. When you accept Jesus as Savior, he gives you at least one spiritual gift so you can serve him. But he also gives you the gifts of courage, agape love, and a sound mind. What a great way to live. Without fear, trust in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian in the sound of my voice, I'm asking that you receive these gifts in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, willingly. And be a manifestation, a visible manifestation of Christ to everybody that you encounter. And Lord, I want to thank you for decisions that are being made in homes and cars and on beaches and wherever people are viewing. And I pray these decisions to bring honor and glory to your precious name. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening today. And if you need to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you're not sure exactly how to do that, if you just call 706-234-1841. And on Monday, one of our staff members will be glad to return your call. Hope you have a great week. Keep your Bible in hand and keep a submissive heart to the will of God for your life as you go through this week.